Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join our pastor.
Well, there's a magazine cartoon, and it shows this little child, this little boy, and he's on his knees praying at his bedside. And you could sense that he's frustrated with God. And his frustration comes through in his voice. He says, "Dear God, Uncle Jim still does not have a job. My sister, Susie, still doesn't have a date for the social coming up next Saturday. And Grandma is still feeling very, very sick. And I'm tired of praying for this family and getting no results. Amen." Well, probably this is the way that many of us have felt at one time or another in regards to our own prayers. Each of us has probably felt like quitting. Probably more than a few times we have actually stopped praying. Maybe not altogether, but we have quit praying for certain things. Things that God has laid upon our hearts, important things, not trivial things. We quit praying for those because of discouragement and doubt. We quit praying because sometimes we wonder if it pays to pray. Even though we would never voice it that way or say it that way, the idea probably has crossed our minds many times. And I think Jesus, in this passage that we just read, knew that such thoughts would cross our minds and the disciples' minds as well, especially when things weren't going well, especially when things are not going the way we expect them to be going in our lives. Verse 1 of chapter 18, we read this. Let me read it again. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up," and not give up. Well, to understand this parable, we need to sort of look at the context a little bit, and though we didn't read it here this morning, but the previous chapter, chapter 17, there Jesus gives this extended description of what the world will look like prior to the second coming, prior to his second coming. In other words, the end times, and we all are living in the end times. Well, it's really a response to the question about when the kingdom of God would come in all its glory and all its fullness. And there we read that the world will not be an easy place to live in, especially for Christians. In verse 26 of chapter 17, Jesus describes the days as not being a whole lot better, in fact, a whole lot better than the days prior to the flood of Noah. Evil would be rampant. So you see, Jesus is talking about a very difficult time that lies ahead for Christians. Evil will grow, lawlessness will abound, will be rampant, and in that light, one wonders what will become of the Christian faith. Jesus then tells this parable about the persistent widow, after which, in verse 8, once again, he makes this very interestingly strong statement about the coming of the kingdom of God. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" He simply throws out that question, which is, in fact, a disturbing question. Will he find faith on earth? And the answer to this question, which naturally is a question that hits close to home for all of us in North America, as we increasingly see secularization rule the day, in which we increasingly see challenges all around us, and it feels like we should just, you know, throw up our arms in defeat, or whether we should actually become more and more persistent in prayer. Well, Jesus knew that followers would be tempted to throw in the towel, and that's why we have this parable before us, that we should always pray, never give up. So you see, there's this direct connection in Jesus' mind between whether God will find faith on earth and whether we are persistent in prayer. There's this direct connection between the health of the church, local churches, whether there's faith to be passed on from generation to generation to generation, and whether we are actually praying for this to happen, whether we're persistent or we just give up. Well, although the general thrust in the context of this parable and the concern laid before us is the end times, and we live in the end times, and how we are to respond to them, I think we can apply this parable in a general way as well to all our areas of life. And let me just briefly look at this parable and make some applications as we go along here. Well, the main character, as we can easily see, is the widow. Of course, it's never easy being a widow, especially back then. And one back then especially would find oneself on the edge of desperation. Generally, they had no education, no job, no support, no financial resources. Their status was minimal. Often they found themselves on the fringes, in fact, of society. And as we learn from this story, the widow had an adversary of all things against her, an adversary who kept harassing her. She has no good way to protect herself, and her only hope is this local judge. Enter the second character, the local judge. Jesus describes this man as a man who does not fear God, a man who does not care about people. So think about who we're dealing with here. And obviously, he's a man who doesn't care how his decisions, in fact, affect the people that come before him. Barely cares about justice, probably. He simply used them, abused them, collected the money, and went on. And this is the hope. This is this woman's only hope. Well, if we knew this widow personally, we would probably tell her, don't even bother going to this man. Don't even bother. Things will get worse. Matters will be worse if you do so. And from what we read in verse 4, we can assume that's exactly what happened, as he refused time and time again to help her. She obviously didn't have money to bribe him. All she could do is be persistent in her pleading for justice. Her plan was that she would keep being persistent, keep bothering him until he finally helped her out. Eventually, as we know, the plan worked. She persisted until she drove, you could say, the judge crazy enough to give in. Well, as we said, Jesus told this story so that we, the reader, the disciples, could learn the lesson of never give up in your prayers. But this story is so easily open to misinterpretation. Sometimes people read it this way. They assume that we are like the widow. That we are like the widow. Helpless, powerless, no connections, unable to handle our problems on our own, and we got nowhere to turn. God, then, is the judge. He's really not interested in our stories, our situations, our problems. After all, he's got a universe to run, a kingdom to run, a kingdom to keep an eye on. It's best not to bother God, you know, unless we got something really, really important to bring to him. Unless we're desperate, of course, we can do like the widow does in this story. We can pester God, bang on the doors of heaven. You know, keep asking, wearing him down, and eventually he will bless us. That type of a thing. Well, hopefully this isn't how you are reading this story and interpreting this parable. It doesn't sound right, does it? Then how should we interpret it? Well, in this particular parable, we have a study of opposites. We have a study of opposites. There are contrasts going on right before our very eyes. First of all, we are not like the widow. We're not. She was poor, she was powerless, she was forgotten and abandoned, and the judge was her only hope. But she had no relationship with this judge. For him, she was just another to-do on his to-do list. And for us, it's not that way at all, not at all. We are not abandoned, we are not helpless, we are God's children. We are God's children. I think our opening song as we gathered this morning sang about, we are God's children. We matter to him. So we don't need to come crawling and begging to God, trying to get, you know, catch his attention and whatnot. Well, that's the first major difference, contrast. The second major difference is our Heavenly Father is nothing like this crooked, unrighteous judge. He's fair. He cares. He responds. He's anything but like that judge. We have a God who is delighted when we come asking him. His heart is warmed when we ask and seek and knock. Read what Jesus says. He says this, if that unjust judge can respond like that, imagine how God will. Verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Well, obviously, from this parable, two things are happening. God will hear us. He will answer our prayers. But we must expect, interestingly, that our prayers need to be persistent in nature. They need to be persistent in nature. We should pray and not give up, we read here. Even, or perhaps especially, when it appears that God is not answering our prayers. The widow must have felt this way many times, for a long time. And Jesus warns that in the end times, it will feel like this. Wickedness is on the increase. Secularism is on the increase. It feels like God is abandoning us and things like that. The key is to persist when we feel this way. And why? Why must we persist? Because this is the way that God wants it to happen. God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. And I know that might not sound like a very satisfying answer. You know, why not pray once, maybe twice, be done with it? You know, isn't it a lack of faith to pray over and over and over and over again for the same thing? You know, God's heard it. He's promised to answer it. Be done with it. You know, to pray over and over again, doesn't that show unbelief and lack of faith? Besides, who is this God, you know, that he's so hard to get along, that he keeps asking us to come to him? Well, I don't think we should look at it that way. Because it is clear that God wants us to come to him and knock on his door and to seek him and to be persistent in our prayers. And for me, there is tremendous value and benefit in doing that over and over again. But there's one thing that we need to be clear about. There is a tremendous difference between being a pest and being persistent, being a pest and being persistent, although at first glance they appear to be the same. The difference probably is in motivation. When we pester, we want our way. We want our way. When we nag, we want our way on our timetable. When we persist, we want the right way, God's way, and we are willing to wait for it to happen. Pestering God, or anyone for that matter, says this, give me what I want. Give me what I want. Persisting faithfully in prayer says, give me, Lord, what you want. And one of the tremendous benefits of persistence is the fitting way to learn what God's will for our lives is. There's something about persistence that fits the very nature of prayer itself. Ask yourself, is not prayer the primary means in which God wills to act in our lives? Is not prayer one of the primary means in which God wills to act in our lives as his children? Prayer can be powerful, when we ask that which is according to his will. I know in general, we often know what God's will is. Sometimes it doesn't take you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know God's general will. Here's an example. We know that as young people that when we date and when we court, we should be dating and marrying in the Lord. We should be dating as Christians, only Christians. We know that this is God's will in his word. And we pray, of course, as Christians to date and to marry Christians and to find someone. However, we don't know specifically who that person is. So sometimes we need to be quite persistent and diligent with God that he show us who that person is specifically and lead us to that person specifically. And when God's will is not known, another aspect of prayer comes to the focus. Prayer as such then becomes an important means of discerning his will. Persistent prayer becomes a struggle with God. Struggle takes time. And this struggle will eventually give way to a clearer understanding of what God wants and what God wills for us. What makes persistent prayer so valuable is that it is not so much a way in which we finally get through to God. It's probably the opposite truth. It's a way in which God finally gets through to us. It's the best means in which God shapes and forms our hearts and desires so that they come in line with His. It allows for a process to take place, and it allows for a dialogue to start between us and God. If God immediately gave us the answer, what we asked for, the struggle, the process, the dialogue, all the things that help us discover His will in our lives would, in fact, be shortchanged, and we would be missing on the potential for growth. We would be missing out on that partnership that God invites us into, that He wants us to participate in. In other words, the process is half the battle in some respects. Persistence is the process. Persistence, like many other things in the Christian life, long-suffering, endurance, is simply one of the prerequisites, if you will, of what it means to be a follower of Jesus as we long and wait for that kingdom to come as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. There's no way of getting around it. These are prerequisites. I've said it many times. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. It simply isn't. Let me end here. Some years ago, a congregation had a profession of faith. A profession of faith, and after the ceremony where these individuals were doing a profession, the minister was talking at the back of the church somewhere, and he ran into a woman who was crying visibly. And he asked why she was crying and how she was doing and whatnot, and she said she wasn't doing very well. She said, "I'm struggling. My mother was one of the people that gave profession of faith at the front, and my mother just gave her life to the Lord today." Oh, the pastor thought to himself, is that a problem that she did? And help me out, he says, I'm confused. I don't understand why you're crying. Then she said, "I'm crying because I came so close. I came oh so close to giving up on her. I mean, after 5 years of praying, I said to the Lord, who needs all this prayer? God's not listening. After 10 years, I said to God, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my breath. After 15 years, I said, this is absurd. This is crazy. After 19 years, I said, I'm a fool to keep praying for my mother. But I guess I just kept on praying, even though my faith was weak, and I kept on praying. And now, after 20 years of praying, she has given her life to Jesus." The woman paused, and then she said, "I will never doubt the power of prayer again." This morning, perhaps, we could add, we should never doubt the power of persistent prayer again. It does something to us, and it does something to God as well. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of our worship, come and join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. here in Lacombe. Be blessed wherever you are.